Chapter 3. Why did you let them do it? The girl demanded of me, like I had just committed a crime or something. Do what? I asked. Boy, was I confused. How could you people let them get away with it? With what? That stupid, she said, pointing into the forest towards the landfill. I was beginning to clue in slowly to what she was talking about, but I was still wondering if this girl was flipped out or what. I had a hard time getting my footing on the slippery stones as I stood up and walked towards her. Don't you people realize what that dump and that smokestack are doing? They're killing this place. I flashed back to hearing my old man, years ago, talk just like that. But here I was confronted with this girl my own age, a girl with long red hair, and not at all bad looking, despite the bulky black wetsuit she was wearing. And she was lecturing me about the dump. Hey, wait a minute, I said. It's not my fault. My father says this used to be one of most beautiful harbors in North America. Or it was when he was growing up here. It still is, I said, feeling a little defensive. Not with that, it isn't, she said, pointing inland to the landfill. When we moved down here, I thought I was getting away from polluted air and dead lakes. And then I find this. Don't people around here care about anything? My father fought this thing, okay? I said to her, feeling my voice rising, so did other people, but not everyone. There weren't enough. The garbage had to go somewhere, I guess. Every other town screamed louder than we did, so we lost. I could tell I made my point, but I guess I said the wrong thing. The girl gave me a cold look and walked over to her windsurfer. She grabbed the broom and began to walk it out into the harbor. Wait a minute, I said. This girl had me totally mixed up. First she insults me, then I realize that she is good and ticked off about the same thing I am. I think she's kinda cute and I want to know her name. Only I've insulted her. And now she wants to disappear in the wind. Wait, please, I said. But she was already waist deep in the water and letting the wind in the sail pull her up onto her feet. She executed a flawless takeoff and hitched her harness in as she headed for deep water. I pointed my board back out to the middle of the harbor and made a clumsy stand-up start, bumping the fine on a couple of big rocks in the water. I wasn't about to let her get away. The wind was coming in walloping gusts. Once I got away from shore, I could see the bloom of her mistral sail heading north, and I gave chase. I cranked hard on the tail and tried to get the board to go for full-on speed. I was thinking that maybe the strange girl would at least be impressed by my windsurfing skill and give me a second chance at conversation. When I caught up to her, I think I surprised her. She didn't realize I'd follow. Coming up close and running parallel to her, I asked, "Where do you live? Maybe we should talk." I wasn't really trying to come on to her. I just felt kind of weird about the way we met. There was more to be said. There was unfinished business. Instead, she surprised me with a radical turn straight into my path. I had to crank hard around to keep from running into her. That gave the wind full control of my sail, and I went flying head over heels into the water. When I surfaced, I saw she was gone, headed into the deeper water and the stronger winds further out. I had a hard time getting a water start. I tried to catch up, but it was hopeless. By then, she was flying, bouncing off the white caps of the little waves and executing moves that I could only do in my dreams. I rode my bike down to the gas station and saw Big Man and Greg hanging out there. I met this girl on a windsurfer. She must be new. You guys know where she lives? Barry Gregg kind of snickered, and Big Man looked up into the sky with a grin on his face. I immediately regretted asking these clowns anything. Sounds like you're pretty interested in her, Barry said. Just curious. My sister talked with her. Bickman said she's got some funny name. What was it? Marianne. Mariana? No, I think it was Marina. Marina Rearson. She and her family moved into the old house that's been empty up at the head of the harbor. She's from away, Greg added, like this was some brilliant addition of information to the story. I guess I found out what I'd been looking for. Hey, thanks, man. What's the hurry? Barry added, slugging back on a can of Pepsi. Tell us what she looks like in a wetsuit. But I was out there. I didn't feel like hanging around. So her name was Marina Rearson, and she had just moved here. She lived up near the head of the harbor in an old house. I went through some pretty sore muscles, cruising the harbor every morning on a sailboard, searching for her. I knew that she was a pretty hot windsurfer and that she'd be in the water again, but I kept my distance. You could see that sail from a long way off. I guess I was a bit of a snoop, but I wanted to meet her real bad. I knew she wasn't like any other girl I'd ever met at school. It seemed like the girls I had gone out with were only interested in rock videos and makeup. This Marina was different. Even her name was different. On my third try, I tracked her all the way up the harbor, past the dump site, and saw her get out of the water at a little old farmhouse near the highway. Now, I was never very good at strategies with girls, but I knew that I had better work on something quick. Marina was, well, unique, and I had a hunch we were a lot alike. I decided that maybe Jack could help me out. So on Saturday, I put Jack in a little wire cage designed to transport cats. I strapped it to the back of my bike and rode down the road, all the way to the head of the harbor and the little farmhouse. What was left of the stub of Jack's wing was healing up amazingly quickly. It was still kind of depressing to think of a seagull with one wing who would never be able to fly again. I had to keep looking back to make sure he was okay. He wobbled about in the cage a bit as I rode, but then he got his balance and I think he liked it. Maybe it was as close to flying as he'd ever get again. Whizzing down the road on the back of my bike with the wind in his face, he could push his beak through the cage wire, and twice he gave me a mean bite in the butt before I positioned him so he couldn't get at me. With Jack in his cage under one arm, I knocked on the door. The house seemed very quiet. She came to the door. She had an old flannel shirt and dirty jeans. It looked like she had been working on something. "Hi," I said. "I wanted to introduce you to a friend." She looked at Jack and then at me. "What did you do to it?" she asked accusingly. "Cool it, will you? I didn't do anything to it but save its life. He's only got one wing." "I can see that," she said. "The guys who work the night shift at the incinerator, they have guns and they pick off rats and birds for kicks." "That's sicko," she said. "That's what I think. I was there one night and I saved this guy." Jack stuck his beak out through the cage and tried to chomp off my finger as I pointed at him. "I thought you might know something about seagulls." She took her head. "Not much. They eat fish. They're supposed to have two wings." "His name's Jack," I told her. "Hello, Jack," she said. "I'm Chris," I told her. "Marina," she said. And that was the chance I'd been waiting for, a chance to have a complete conversation with Marina Rison before the wind took hold of her and raced her away.